It happened a long time ago, before the time of taking footprints to establish identity of newborn babies. And there was a dispute between these two women over a baby. Both of these women had given birth, but one of the babies had died. And the one woman was accusing the other woman of exchanging her live baby for the dead baby during the night. Since these two women were the only people in the house at that time, there were no other witnesses. So the dispute was brought before the high court of that day. The case was brought before the king. And the two women called upon the king, asking him to determine which of the two should be awarded this disputed infant. Both mothers claimed to have given birth to the baby, and since there were no other witnesses, they couldn't decide. And the king came up with what sounded like a very logical idea. He suggested the baby be cut in two and split between the two women. At this point, one of the women immediately understood that the child would be killed. She no longer cared whether she would be able to raise this child. All she wanted was this baby to be safe. And the other potential mother didn't care. Yet, rather than yielding, giving up her self-will and telling the truth, she would go along and let it be killed. So the king decided the real mother was the one who would rather give up her child than see it destroyed. The king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and no wise slay it. She is the mother of the child." And when the people heard of the judgment that the king had judged, they feared the king because they saw the wisdom of God was in this king to do judgment. They saw the wisdom of God in the king. And just for your notes, this account is given in 1 Kings chapter 3. It's very interesting when Solomon became king of the United Kingdom of Judah and Israel that he had a very humble attitude. And he showed this humility because he asked God to help him rule his people well and wisely. He was looking to God to help him rule. He wasn't looking to his own abilities. And God was pleased with that. For Solomon made such a selfless request, God agreed to give Solomon what he'd asked for. But he also granted him two other things most people want: long life and riches. You know, we've heard the statement, heard the stories of the wisdom of Solomon. The point is, Solomon did not have the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon had a gift. God had given Solomon some of his own wisdom. Solomon had some of the wisdom of God. And when we look at the subject of wisdom in the Bible, we find there are three different kinds or types of wisdom. There is the godly wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And secondly, we find something called human wisdom. And thirdly, we find a wisdom that originates from another spirit being, a wisdom that comes from Satan. All three of these wisdoms are mentioned in the Bible. Every year, Time Magazine publishes, about this time of year in its magazine, a Person of the Year. And for the year 2011, they chose the protester as a Person of the Year. That these protesters in these various countries had the biggest influence on world events. In order to make and shake the world, I'm sure someone in these groups, these protest groups, would have a strategy, would have to organize and set up whatever goals they were trying to accomplish. They would have a certain wisdom. They'd have to know how things work. But for worldly wisdom, but we know that worldly wisdom doesn't always bring good results. You know, worldly wisdom knows how to stir up emotions in people, emotions in human nature, how to incite a large number of people maybe in doing what they want them to do. But we know from the last century that Adolf Hitler was a master of this. And you know, that experience brought about much suffering, misery, and death to multiple millions of people. And admittedly, there's a wisdom in knowing how this world functions, how to get as much as we can from this world, how to operate and get what we want in dealing with the ways of this world. But you know, we're advised by God through His Word that we're to seek another type of wisdom. He tells us that we should seek this wisdom from Him, which is a different kind of wisdom than we see around us in the world. You know, how things normally go in this world. We're told to seek God's wisdom. And you know, when we hear this, it's implied that naturally we don't have this godly wisdom. Or maybe in the quantities that we should have it, and that's in the opinion of God. You know, God didn't say we don't have wisdom. He just says we don't have His wisdom. So to develop the character of God, we need to have God's wisdom. So how do we get this godly wisdom? So we might ask the question, do we ask God on a daily basis for this wisdom? You know, do we make that a part of our prayers each day to ask God for wisdom? So if we ask for godly wisdom, then we ought to know a little bit more about what we're asking for. And what is that God will give us if we ask for this godly wisdom? You know, for instance, if we say, God, give me the wisdom to become really successful in this world, you know, that may not be the type of wisdom that God is talking about. That may be another type of wisdom. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 5. Here in James chapter 1, verse 5, it's like here in James, it's like, you know, we don't know what we should do, but we find that God always knows what we should do. And another thing is, He says He will tell us. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, God is telling us if we lack this certain type of wisdom, you know, first we have to realize, we have to admit that we're lacking. And you know, it takes a certain amount of humility to be able to say, you know, I'm lacking in wisdom. But notice, then we have to ask. Then God gives us a promise if we do that. God says He will give it to us. You know, Abraham Lincoln may have discovered this principle given here in James. For Lincoln said on more than one occasion, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of those about me seemed insufficient for the day. Notice, Lincoln found human wisdom insufficient. But you know, those who usually rely on human wisdom, they generally feel that their human wisdom is sufficient. They feel like that they've earned this wisdom, and they certainly don't need to ask God for wisdom. You know, a lot of those who rely on human wisdom, they've become so egotistical that they won't admit that anyone is wiser than them. And that's the reason a lot of them go to being an atheist. Because they don't want to admit that God is wiser than they are. For the Bible speaks, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Now, we might think we have wisdom, but it says, don't even start to think about that. Don't think you have all the wisdom, because you don't. No matter who you are, you don't have all the answers. You know, God says His wisdom will confound the mighty. So we're talking about a level of wisdom way beyond our own wisdom, beyond human wisdom. And what we see so much in the world is this human wisdom, or maybe the wisdom of this world or age, that gives the appearance of being wise. And you know, using this type of wisdom might provide some success in the ways of this world. The way this world might describe success. You know, how does the world describe success? You know, they do it a number of ways. You know, how much have you acquired physically? How important have you become? How much influence do you have in terms of power? What position do you have? And unfortunately, this same type of thought is carried over into the church at certain times. You know, none of us have all the answers. None of us have the right to look down upon others. And the human wisdom or the wisdom of this world can lead us down that path, you know, becoming Pharisaical. But this is not the type of wisdom God is talking about. Let's look at James chapter 3. To be influential in this world, having influence and being able to lead and be recognized as such would seem to be successful. And to do that, a person does have to be wise in the ways of this world. But as we've seen earlier, this wisdom can be used for good. But like Hitler, he used this influence, this success, for destruction. And we see here in James 3 that wisdom of God is a different kind of wisdom. James 3:13. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And the wisdom that is being talked about here is godly wisdom, the wisdom that is a gift from God that comes from God. So one of the first rules then that godly wisdom in a person can be seen or demonstrated by their conduct, the way they act. It has to be seen to be believed. You know, no matter what the person says, the best way that wisdom can be demonstrated is in the meekness of wisdom. It's demonstrated or shown by that person's conduct. You know, that's what really carries the weight. Notice it says the meekness of wisdom. You know, this shows that it's not of ourselves. We have no right to make any claims here. It's not of ourselves. The wisdom that God is talking about, godly wisdom, is a gift from Him. And by using this word meekness, we know, you know, it's not of ourselves, that this weakness is, this wisdom is of God. You know, it says that we have humbled ourselves and asked God for His wisdom. It's not of ourselves. So we see the expression used here, the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is a gift only by the grace of God. Let's go on to verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthy, sensual, demonic. Notice here is another wisdom, which is not godly wisdom. It's a wisdom, but it's not godly wisdom. He says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, seeking our will rather than God's, earthy, sensual, demonic. You know, this type of wisdom, the self-seeking wisdom, you know, can help us to get maybe our wants or maybe our desires right now. You know, this type of wisdom can help us, you know, get everything, maybe anything that we want, maybe what we want physically. But, you know, it's the same wisdom that Lucifer used when he was not satisfied with what God had given him. You know, he used that wisdom and the power that had been given to influence others around him. Maybe to influence them through boasting and lying against the truth. And he was able to influence a number of angels to rebel against God. And I'm sure if Time magazine, back in those days, had been around at that time, they would have chosen Satan as the man of the year for stirring up such a great protest. And you know, Satan has used those same tactics all down through the ages. He has provided this wisdom, as described in James, as earthly, sensual, demonic ever since. You know, even when people have had fairly decent human leadership, Satan has been there trying to get people to accept his wisdom, to get people to believe that maybe they've been treated unfairly, that things could be better if they were in charge, and give them that wisdom to make them believe that they can make up lies, maybe to discredit their leaders, and then to influence others to believe that they need to be in charge. We find this wisdom used over and over and over again down through history. But this earthly wisdom is not a wisdom that descends from above. James 3:17, he goes on and talks about the wisdom from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. What he's saying here, it doesn't have any motives. It doesn't have a hidden agenda. It doesn't try to aggrandize self. It doesn't have an ego problem. You know, the whole idea of what Christ taught was not, Christ was not self-seeking. That is, to promote ourselves in order to try to get importance. You know, it doesn't have a hidden agenda, working, trying to manipulate so self can come out on top. But the first idea of that is to make a person pure, pure in thought, pure in heart, without motive. And there should be a certain genuineness and goodness about that. Continuing in verse 17, then peaceable. You know, that's quite a contrast to the wisdom that we see around us. You know, we don't see a lot of peace in this world. Sometimes not even in the church. Maybe not an actual war in the church, but sometimes maybe a war of words, divisions. Verse 17, gentle. Now, gentle, that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the nature of godly wisdom is gentle. And one would expect a person who is wise would not be a noisy, loud mouth. He would not be overbearing, trying to inflict his will on others. But what he has to say simply carries the day. You know, it's wise. However, you know, we know people who gain power through sheer force. You know, they carry out their plans through these hidden agendas behind the scenes, their ability trying to impress others by the way they use their own personal power, you know, through their own personal charisma. You know, that's part of the way that's done in this world. It seems that God has chosen many times maybe those who are not so very impressive to do his work, to do his will. And we find that even in the case of Jesus Christ. Because in the Bible it says, Jesus Christ, he was not esteemed. He wasn't looked upon someone that was to be highly respected. He didn't come from an important family or background or calling. You know, he didn't do that. People wouldn't look at him and say, this man is really impressive. He didn't come from that. His earthly credentials were not that good. He was despised. He was rejected simply because people did not recognize what he really was at trueness. Continuing in verse 17, willing to yield. There's a wisdom in being willing to yield. You know, the earthly wisdom does not want to compromise. It's full of vanity, pride, that same pride that we saw in Lucifer. And that pride will not permit compromise, not willing to yield. You know, it's my way or the highway. You know, this type of wisdom that creates division in this world, that creates division even in the church, ego is unwilling to yield. You know, just like in the introduction, the woman who lied about the baby, that woman, she would not yield. She would rather see the baby divided into two parts than yield to godly wisdom. In the same way, there have been some in the church down through the years who'd rather see the body of Christ divided, split in two, rather than yield to godly wisdom. Continuing in verse 17, Without partiality. What he's saying here is, meaning I will treat you the same as everyone else, whether or not you can do something for me or not. You know, worldly wisdom always wants to treat those better who can do something for me. Verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It's shown here that one of the big products, one of the big results of godly wisdom is peace. And when we look around this world at the lack of peace, we have to admit there's not a lot of godly wisdom at work in this world at this time. So after reading these scriptures in James, we see that Satan does have a wisdom. And we see that wisdom does not come from above. And James is here contrasting those two types of wisdom. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel 28, we find some important information about Lucifer and his wisdom. Ezekiel 28, we'll begin here in the middle of verse 12, Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. It's talking about Lucifer here. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Excuse me. Verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created until iniquity was found in you. And there's a very interesting point here. You know, when God created this being, he didn't start out as a baby, as we did. He had everything immediately. And one of the things that Lucifer had was wisdom. You know, we were not created, we were born. And the only two human beings who were created were Adam and Eve. You know, they were created. And when they were created, they were given the ability to speak and to think. They were given a certain amount of knowledge. It was already there. It was automatic. You know, they didn't have to grow into it. They had a level of understanding. And they were given a capacity to communicate with God, communicate with him, talk with him on the level that he needed to talk with them. So that was immediate. So Lucifer, he was created with this wisdom. God gave him this wisdom. And also, we know that God can do that for us too. And certain times we have to go through certain experiences to learn his wisdom. And we have to experience certain things to learn about that. But he does say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. And that's notice what happened here in verse 16. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So we read here about the sin on the part of Lucifer. You know, anyone who has free will, who chooses to, can depart from God. And when they do that, it's a sin. But in any case, Lucifer had free will. He could choose. He could sin. Verse 16, and therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom. Notice here, because of vanity, because of ego, he corrupted that godly wisdom that he had been given. And because of what he chose here, because he had the ability, the mind to do this, he corrupted that gift of God, that godly wisdom. He polluted the wisdom they had been given. It says he corrupted it. You know, wisdom is knowing how things work to gain a certain result. Wisdom is knowing the end from the beginning. And that's something that human wisdom cannot know, the end from the beginning. Human wisdom does not have the luxury of knowing when we do something, when we commit an act, what the outcome will be. When we begin something, what the end result will actually be. And the following statements were made from some people this world would consider very wise. Albert Einstein remarked in 1932, there is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be attainable. Thomas Edison thought alternating current would be a waste of time. AC current would be a waste of time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt once predicted, when he was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, that airplanes would never be useful in battle against a fleet of ships. And when Gary Cooper turned down the Rhett Butler role in Gone with the Wind, he is said to have remarked, "I'm glad it'll be Clark Gable falling on his face, not Gary Cooper." Here's another one from Charles H. Duell. He was commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in 1899. And he said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." So we can see that human wisdom isn't that good at seeing the end results of certain actions. But godly wisdom is very, very different. For God says, "I have wisdom. I know the end results from the beginning. I know exactly how things are going to turn out." Because, you know, God understands what the end results of certain actions are going to be. And God says if you're doing things in a certain way, you're going to have a certain result. Notice how the wisdom of Lucifer is given. What happened when it was corrupted? You know, after that wisdom, godly wisdom, was corrupted, it no longer brought peace. Because we read that Satan tried to ascend into heaven to challenge God. He wanted to become as God. You know, he was concerned for himself. He felt he could do a better job than God was doing. And he was able to influence others in this protest. He convinced them maybe they were being treated unfairly. You know, this was self-seeking, seeking his will. Totally self-seeking on the part of Satan. So his wisdom involves how to get for ourselves, getting as much as we can, seeking self-importance. You know, the whole system, this world, this society, this age, was devised, it concentrates on a person's power, a person's status, a person's position. And we know that Satan is called the ruler of this age, of this world. And most of what we see around us in this society is a result of that. And John describes it as the world. You know, everything that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, he says. And the wisdom that's been perpetuated out there in Satan's world is that we get all that we can, and we get it right now. You know, and these people, I think, who give out these credit cards have gotten the same wisdom on their own. They know that people want it right now, and they don't want to have to wait. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Here we find a wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1 that's described as the wisdom of man. First Corinthians 1:18. "For the message of the cross," you know, this is talking about the message that Christ brought, the whole plan of God, the Passover, the whole plan. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.'" God is telling us, you know, we can have all this human wisdom. And yes, with that human wisdom, we can do well in the world, be a success by this world's standards. But all that human wisdom is going to get us in the long run, because it doesn't give us an understanding of the plan of God, what His purpose is. And I often wondered, you know, why didn't Satan see God's plan, know that how it's going to turn out? But when Satan lost that godly wisdom, he cannot understand the plan now. He doesn't see it, what the purpose is. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know, God's saying with all this worldly wisdom, all this cleverness, all this knowledge, the reason, logic, you know, to gain the superior position, to gain wealth, in the long run, all that God is going to bring to nothing. It's like the story of the gourd and the oak tree. This gourd wound itself around this big oak tree. In a few weeks, this vine climbed to the very top. "How old are you?" asked the gourd. "About 100 years, said the oak. 100 years, and you're no taller than that? Look at me, I've grown as tall as you are in just a few days." "I know that well," replied the oak tree. "Every summer of my life, a gourd has climbed up around me as proud as you are. And it will be as short-lived as you are. You know, in the long run, just like the gourd, human wisdom is going to come to nothing." Verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom," talking about worldly wisdom, "did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." You know what's saying here? Through human wisdom, we cannot understand God's purpose. We cannot understand His plan. We cannot understand that through human reasoning. You know, we cannot understand what God is doing in terms of human beings becoming His sons and daughters. This is something we cannot understand through human reasoning. And the mere mention of this to the wise of this world, they would consider it foolishness. Try it. No, don't try it. Human wisdom cannot see the things that God wisdom reveals. You know, when it comes to human wisdom, you know, some of these folks are really good in playing the system and using this human wisdom. And they can usually figure out a way that they can come out ahead no matter what. Read the story about Fred. He was making arrangements for the funeral of his brother Jim. And Fred told the pastor who was doing the funeral that he'd give the pastor $10,000 if he would just say his brother Jim was an angel at the funeral. Well, the pastor was having a little problem with this because he knew that Jim was a real rascal. But on the other hand, that $10,000 looked mighty, mighty good. You know, it would really make a nice vacation. So the pastor finally agreed to go ahead, took the $10,000, he got up to do the eulogy. He began by saying, "Jim was the most dishonest man in town. He was foul-mouthed, a drunkard, a lying, cheating gambler. Nobody trusted him. He beat his wife and kids and never did anything nice for his family." About that time, he'd already given the man the $10,000 and he was getting ready to jump up and shoot him, get his money back. And then the pastor said, "But compared to his brother Fred, Jim was an angel." You know, it's certainly true. You cannot con a con man. And you know, Jesus Christ himself said the children of this world are wiser than the children of light in some respects. Let's go to Luke 16. Here is the parable that Jesus Christ gave about the unjust steward. And what we find here, we have an unjust steward here who sees that he's about to be called in on the carpet because being the steward, he had charge over his master's goods and his finances. And what he'd done, he made some loans that were not prime. And I think we can all understand that. It's like the mortgage crisis of that day. And it looked like all these creditors were about to default on their loans. So this steward sees that he's in big trouble here. So he goes immediately to the people he loaned the money to, the creditors. After all, he's the one who lent out the money, and he knows this money's going to be called in. And he doesn't want to turn out this way, but he goes to the people who borrowed the money, and he says, I'll tell you what. Pay this off. Pay off. Give me part of the loan here, and we'll call it even. We'll call it square. We'll wipe out the debt. And these guys look around, and they take a look, and they figure, you know, this is a good deal for me, not having to pay back the full loan, because at that time, they possibly could have ended up in jail or lost all their possessions. So they did come up with the money. They got a good deal. And the steward also figured he was making friends with these people, giving them a good deal like this, because he felt if he got fired by his master, he at least could get maybe another job. It's human wisdom working here, you know, behind the scenes and everything. Then the master calls this man in on the carpet and for the steward to give an accounting. And the master says, you are very shrewd in what you did. Now, the master didn't come out too good on this, because he came out with a loss because it was his money and he lost part of it. But at least he had to admire the steward and what he did. At least the loss wasn't as bad as perhaps it could have been. Let's look at verse 8 of Luke 16. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. You know, what was Jesus saying here? That the sons of light, those who had the truth of God, ought to be as shrewd as this unjust steward? You know, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that the sons of light ought to be intelligent, shrewd, and productive in their business. We need to be as productive in God's business. We need to be productive in the Father's business as the unjust steward was in his business. You know, the steward's business was money. The Father's business is carrying on the work of God, making sure that we're developing the mind, we're developing the character of God, making sure that we're fulfilling the purpose of God. So we do need to be diligent, shrewd, you know, in our spiritual growth, in preaching the gospel, as a steward was in finances. And Christ is saying that's what ought to be. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. You know, Christ said, 1 Corinthians 1, Christ said that we're going to be in this world. But he said we're not to become a part of it. In order to do this, to live in the world in God's way, let's look at verse 22, 1 Corinthians 1, 22. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. He's saying this is foolishness to the Greeks. You know, this goes against the thinking of this world. According to human wisdom, it sounds foolish. Christ crucified, a God, somebody in an important position like that wouldn't do something like that. That doesn't sound like wisdom to me. You mean you're going to send the Creator down here to this earth? You're going to make him a human being? And then he's going to die for us? You know, according to human wisdom, that doesn't seem very smart. Verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, even at the point when Satan stirred the people up to kill Christ, Satan thought he'd achieved success at that point. He'd finally destroyed one of the God beings. Again, showing Satan had corrupted that godly wisdom, he could no longer comprehend the plan of God. You know, God has a plan. He knows exactly what he's going to do. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. again showing there are people who are wise according to the flesh, this human wisdom. But the ones he calls are not very wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. You know, even the smartest people in this world, judged by this world's standards, he says, I want to put them to shame. Verse 27, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how powerful they are. You know, people do respect power. People respect that which is mighty. But that is the way of this world. That's not God's way. Even those who are powerful and famous in this world are going to come to nothing. Verse 28, the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which this world despises. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And people are going to see that before this is over. They're going to see where the best efforts of worldly wisdom has gotten them. And they're going to see that only godly wisdom works. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. You know, Christ became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Brethren, what a blessing it is when we find the wisdom of God. You know, giving us an understanding of God's plan for all mankind, giving us an understanding through the knowledge of the holy days and the Sabbath. And the wisdom of God tells us that plan is going to work. It's going to work. A plan that was thought of and designed before the foundations of this world. Philippians 2. Here we find a result of doing things God's way. Philippians 2. Of doing things God's way, God's wisdom. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, talking about Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. You know, according to this world's wisdom, to humble yourself. You know, you cannot do that. You cannot climb the ladder of success in this world by doing that. You know, the humble oneself is totally opposite the way man's wisdom is. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, that was a criminal's death. Human wisdom would say, which is Satan's wisdom, that's not the way you gain power. That's not the way you have a following. And Satan's wisdom said, you know, I've destroyed a God being. But godly wisdom says in verse 8, says here, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Notice, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now the first chapter of James gives us an answer about wisdom. Let's go back there. We were there once. Let's go back to the first chapter of James where it says to seek wisdom. Back in James chapter 1, let's read verse 5 again here. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now let's go back and to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, human wisdom won't do that. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but godly wisdom will help us to see that our testing is going to produce patience. And there is a patience in God's wisdom. Because, you know, in God's wisdom, wisdom is knowing the right outcome or the result. You know, humanly, God's plan has covered many, many, many generations of human life. But all during that time, God has a purpose, He's had a plan, and that hasn't changed. And you know, when we go through a trial, at a time, we may not see the purpose, but with godly wisdom, we can understand there is a purpose. Maybe it's a purpose which we will understand later. If we understand that God has a purpose in what He is doing, He has a plan in what He's doing, and what He's doing is always going to be the best for us, you know, we can be a lot more confident that we know what God is doing. And we can have that peace because we know the final outcome is going to be the best. It's going to be the best for everyone. And a person who doesn't know that, it describes here in verse 8, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. You know what he's saying here? It happens to everyone. And this is repeated in the Bible several times. Another place in the book of James, we find that using godly wisdom in James 1, verse 17. 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But you know, the wisdom of this world tells us, you know, we'd better be quick with an answer. So people will think we're dumb if we don't come up with an answer. We better let them know we mean business. And the wisdom of God says we better stop and think, you know, what God might be doing. Verse 19, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, wrath is part of human wisdom. And for us as a human being, it's not part of godly wisdom. Let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew 7. Here in Matthew 7, this is Jesus Christ talking here. Matthew 7. Talking about a wise man. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. You know, wise man, how does a wise man build? What kind of house are we building? Are we building on the rock? You know, godly wisdom says our foundation is not built on human beings, that's built on a rock. Godly wisdom tells us our foundation is Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus Christ set the example for us. And godly wisdom tells us what Jesus Christ is like. And that, you know, it begins with humility. Wisdom from above, humility. And brethren, as we said before, we're not going to get very far with humility in this world. But that's what he says to do. You know, a person who is wise in his own eyes, God says, knows nothing. And he's not ever going to learn much either, because he already knows everything. You know, humility always looks for the will of God. It is submitting to the will of God. And one of its characteristics is peace, it's patient, it's really patient. And we may not get the results by following godly wisdom. We might not get the kind of results we're looking for right now, but it will get us the kind of results that count. It will get us eternal results. You know, sometimes the quiet wisdom does overcome the loudmouth wisdom of this world. There was a strong young man at a construction site, and he was bragging that he could outdo anyone in the feats of strength. And he made a special case of making fun of one of the older workmen on the construction job. And after several minutes, the older man had enough of this loudmouth. And he told the loudmouthed young man in a quiet voice, he said, "Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? I'll bet you a week's wages that I can haul something in this wheelbarrow over to that building that you won't be able to wheel back." "You're on," the young man yelled back at him. The old man reached out and grabbed the wheelbarrow by the handles. And he turned to the young man and said, "All right, get in. Get in the wheelbarrow." You know, in the long run, godly wisdom will overcome the wisdom of this world. You know, godly wisdom will last for eternity. You know, today we've seen that this most human wisdom originated from Satan. That, you know, we've also seen that when we allow vanity and ego to rule in our lives, those things corrupt godly wisdom. And it ends with corrupted thinking, just like Satan ended up with. And today we've seen from the example of the newborn baby that was given in the introduction, that human wisdom would rather see something destroyed, as precious as a newborn baby destroyed, or maybe on a larger scale, the Church of God destroyed, rather than put aside our self-interest and admit that we're wrong about something. You know, we have seen that godly wisdom has to come from God. We just don't have that kind of wisdom. And we cannot have it of ourselves. And it is the opposite of the wisdom all around us in this world. Godly wisdom is a gift. It must come from God. And if we want it, brethren, we have to ask for it. You know, the wisdom of this world, we can pick up out here on the street. So let's ask God daily this godly wisdom that will last for eternity.